Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life, your busy schedule, to join me today on my radio program. Today is Monday, December 19th, 2022. For most of us, this is the most stressful week of our lives. We are still making final preparations for that great holiday family dinner together. To celebrate Christmas on Sunday, we have every obligation in the world, whether it be some kind of function at school or a pageant or a musical program at church. This is probably the most busiest week of the year. And on top of it, depending on where you live, you might be in the midst of an impending snowstorm to make matters even more complicated. So at this time of year, this final countdown to the Christmas celebration, there is a lot of stress. There is a lot going on. And yet, as much as we somehow try to avoid it, we are confronted with this season that is supposed to be a season of great joy and celebration. And for many of us, it is anything but joy and celebration. In the case of my family, it was last year on Christmas that my mother-in-law passed, went home to heaven to be with Jesus, a great celebration, but great sadness for us. I remember very vividly that day as we gathered at her bed. Her organs were failing, and we had agreed with the hospital to remove anything from her that was keeping her physically going. That was her wish, not to be held together if there was no hope. And so it was one of the most difficult days of our life to watch the nurse remove the oxygen apparatus. And it was maybe 2 or 3 minutes later that she left us. That was on Christmas Day, the day of supposed great joy and celebration. But that day was anything but that for us. You might be in a similar situation. You may have a loved one, a family member that is very ill, and on the day of great joy and celebration, you're going to spend most of that day in the hospital with them, praying for them, encouraging them to keep the fight, to keep the faith. So there are many, many people that are under different dire circumstances. I'm thinking of Christians in the persecuted church all over the world that cannot celebrate Christmas publicly. They have to do it secretly. I'm thinking of Christians in North Korea in labor camps that meet in latrines with other believers just to pray. And that's their Christmas in dire circumstances. And yet, the story of Christmas is the story of hope and great joy. But the question is, how do we celebrate in a world filled with terrorism, violence, and oppression? How do we somehow rise above these things? Well, what I want to do this morning on the cross in the desert, I simply want to tell the Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke, and then I want to deal of having true joy on Christmas in a world that is nothing but evil and terrorism and despair in many places. How do we overcome and rise up? I want to address that. But the first thing I want to do right now is go to Luke's gospel and read for us the simple account from Luke the historian about the birth of Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went up there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will be cause for great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Notice the declaration of the angel, "Do not be afraid." These shepherds didn't know what to make of this sight. They had seen that Star of Bethlehem, that glory resting over the location, and the glory of the Lord terrified them, and the angel assured them, "There was no reason to fear. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Great joy, some joy, but great joy." How did Jesus bring joy to the world? Well, let me first talk a little bit about the condition of most of us, of a lot of people. At this time of year, you hear the songs in the mall. You see the Santa Claus meetings. You see the trees, the colors, the lights, the shopping. And in the midst of it all, humanity is yearning for hope, for meaning, for purpose. I have a Muslim friend who lives in Singapore. She's not a Christian, but she loves the beauty of this time of year. And I firmly believe that every year at this time, God is speaking to her heart about her need for a Savior. Well, every human heart has the knowledge of an eternity. They have a yearning for hope, for meaning and purpose. And without God, our existence is emptiness. It's futile. The world before Jesus was lost in darkness. But the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem is the cause for great, great joy. Well, you say, how in the midst of everything happening in my life can I have joy? Well, perhaps you've heard the common phrases, the common cliches all the time. Just believe, have faith. It's just a season of hope. Those are the songs we sometimes hear when we go shopping. But wait a minute. Let's take a moment. Let's talk about true joy. And let's talk about the meaning of these phrases. What do they mean? Just believe. Have faith. It's a season of hope. There's something missing here. It's the object of what your faith is in. Just believe. Believe in what? Have faith. Have faith in who? In what? A season of hope in what? A season of hope because we're just looking forward to lovely times with families, our gifts around the tree, or just believe in Santa, or just have faith in the goodness of mankind. If we understand these messages that way, there is no reason for great joy, but really hopelessness and despair. That brings very little encouragement. In fact, if you think about it, the message of Santa, he's making a list. He's checking it twice. Going to find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sakes. Isn't that rather sobering to think of this large bearded man dressed in velvet red, smoking a pipe, keeping watch over us, checking to see if we're naughty or nice or we've been good enough? Isn't that really more of a cause for fear and trembling than happiness and joy? Have I been good enough? This is the problem. This is the cause for despair. When we place our faith in mankind or our hope in family gatherings, let's be honest. We look around our world, terrorism, racism, greed, discord, disease. That dominates the news. We are a human race plagued with many struggles. And lots of times it shows up in our family gatherings. We need to have a radical heart transformation, not just hum some phrases that we hear while we're shopping. We need to have true faith, true belief, true hope, true joy. And as we read the Christmas story in its brief account, according to Luke, the angel says this birth is the cause for great joy. Really? When they saw the glory of God, what they were seeing was that glory came to them. That is, the shepherds in the field wrapped in human flesh. And Jesus came in human flesh so that you and I could be wrapped in the righteousness of God and have a restored intimate relationship with God. Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life so that he could be the perfect sacrifice for all that is wrong in our lives and all that is wrong in the world around us. Without Jesus, Without Jesus being the reason for the season, our belief has no merit. Our faith has no basis. Our hope has no anchor. But in Jesus, we find the joy of believing. In Jesus, we find the substance of our faith. In Jesus, we know this to be a real season of hope. So how does Jesus bring joy to the world? Remember, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. That great joy was the truth that the God who seemed so far away had come to them in human flesh, in the person of Christ, in a manger of Bethlehem. He was called Emmanuel, meaning God with him, God with us. And those who saw him, those who gleaned upon that babe in the manger, were actually looking at the face of God. Jesus came to rescue, to save, to heal, and to make mankind right with God. That was the cause for great joy. Because Jesus was born, you and I, sinful human beings, have an opportunity to come face to face, to come into the presence of a holy God and be declared not guilty because of Jesus. You see, when Jesus later died on the cross, the veil in the temple was torn in two. And that symbolized the wall of separation between God and man. And when Jesus died and rose again, the veil was rent. And now we can have a vital, intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ. This is the promised Messiah. The angels announced his arrival with great fanfare, with great joy. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. When we read the Christmas story in Matthew and in Luke, Matthew says, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." On Christmas, God came to us in the most perfect, most ordinary, but most incredible way. He stepped down from his throne in heaven, and he showed us that there is no stairway to heaven for us to reach him, for us to make our lives acceptable to him, for us to attain enough righteousness to come into contact with him. And God understands our sinful hearts could never overcome that barrier of darkness. That's why he descended down from his throne in heaven, if you will, from the stairway, and came in the person of Christ to be a living Savior, to die for our sins. That is the meaning of Christmas. That is the occasion of great joy. God with us, Emmanuel, the Lord has come. You may say, but that's a wonderful story. How do I know it's true? God didn't speak to us in veiled language. He tells us plainly in the Bible. The Bible is a collection of 66 books written by every kind of person, every kind of background of person, a general, a shepherd, a historian. The thing about the Bible that's so unique is that it is filled with prophecy about the coming of the Messiah, where he would be born, how his life was to be lived, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, all prophesied hundreds of years before his birth. It is a book of uniqueness, a book of supernatural prophecy, a book of great unity, and it speaks to one thing. It speaks to the need for you and I to have a vital relationship with the very God of the universe, our Creator, and it teaches us how we can have that relationship. And it begins in the human side with the birth of a Savior. You know, God didn't send another prophet. He sent His only begotten Son, who would become our perfect, sinless Savior. You see, we didn't need another prophet. We needed a Savior because our sin is the separation between us and God. And there is no amount of good works, prayer, almsgiving, or anything we can do to overcome that barrier. But Jesus came to break down the wall of separation between God and man. He came to take upon Himself our wrongdoings, our sin, our guilt, our shame. He came to be born, to die, so that we may have life and life everlasting. And when you know the Savior, you can have the true joy of Christmas. And yes, it's a time of great celebration in the midst of oppression and fear. And yes, it's with our families. And yes, it's with the people that we love. And yes, we eat good food. And yes, we have a good time. But the reason for the celebration, the reason for the feast, is that we know we have a Savior who loves us unconditionally. It is a time for great joy. And I want you to celebrate with this song by Chris Tomlin, Joy to the World. Wow. If you can't be filled with joy after listening to that rendition by Chris Tomlin, I don't know what to do with you. It is a song for us to rejoice in. Now, you know, I understand there's nothing worse than faking it. You cannot somehow work up joy when there's great sadness, when there's great sorrow. I understand that. God doesn't want you to fake it. But he came to give your life meaning and purpose. He came invading this world of sin and loneliness and despair and violence. He came as the light of the world. And this Christmas, in the darkness of your despair, Jesus is the light of the world that gives meaning and purpose to your existence. I'm thinking this morning of my Iranian friends. One in particular, her name is Modest. She lives in Mashhad. There was an execution just a week ago in her city. And she told me personally that she just doesn't want to live anymore. There's great despair because of what's happening all around her with the revolution. Brave women are rising up to say no to this evil regime. We want our freedom. And she's living in a city where there's an uprising. It's one of many cities. And so this Christmas, my friend Modest doesn't have that hope and joy, and I'm working on that. I'm sharing with her on WhatsApp and sending her messages and praying for her and encouraging her. My point is, it's something you can't work up. You either have joy or you don't. But Jesus came 2,000 years ago to give you and I purpose and meaning and forgiveness. And so that is reason for great joy. And my prayer for you, the listener, is that you have that hope and meaning and purpose in the person of Christ. That this Christmas, if you've never encountered him, I pray that you would come to know him, that he is the greatest gift under the Christmas tree that you need to unwrap with your faith. He is the reason for the season. And in your hurting and in your despair, I pray that Emmanuel, God with us, would come into your home and come into your heart and give you forgiveness, hope, and healing. That is my prayer for this Christmas. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening to my program. Have a very Merry Christmas, and I will see you next Monday on the Cross in the Desert.